precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Thank you, Carissa. Is that what our hearts are hungering for today? Is the Lord? It should be. Now, if Richard would come forward, we'll hear the message from him today.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Todd. It's always nerve-wracking, isn't it? If you've been up here before and you're bringing the word of the Lord and you feel unworthy, there is none that is worthy. But the Lord has asked me, and Dave, if I would speak today. And I said, sure. I've been very blessed at Sydney Health Center. And I've been preaching over there every Sunday this year. since they allowed us starting to go in there. And even though it's not an intellectual learning, a scholar learning like I feel I get here, it's a simple learning where God's word comes alive to all of us, regardless of age. And I think, and I talked to Dave during vacation Bible school, and I told him I was going to leave Sydney Health Center. I put my notice in, and he kind of looked me over to figure out why, because I'm so young. Thank you. So he preached about filling barns, and, you know, then you're going to fill more barns, and the Lord says, you know, what a fool. He doesn't know his name is going to be called today, and those barns mean nothing. So I talked to Shelley, my wife, and I said, I think it's time. I think the Lord's calling me. Even though she's not for that, she understands that. And she knows I'm going to be obedient, so I want to do a ministry. So before I put my notice in, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just going to sit around, watch Bonanza, and eat ice cream. So I started writing in a journal, what can I do for Sydney? And I think there's a great ministry in Sydney. There's a great ministry of visiting people. We don't have a visiting pastor. I want to visit. I want to take some time with George and find out what goes on, and Kurt and some of these folks that are at home most of the time because they can't get up and get out, or they're alone, or they just lost a loved one. I want to go clean someone's yard, like Helmut, who's always asking for help and probably doesn't get that. But here's a ministry I think this town is missing. Discipleship. Discipleship. What's discipleship? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then what? You go to church like here, and then you sit and you try and understand the deep thinking, the Greek, the Hebrew, everything that's going on. I think we're missing that. And I'm the right simple guy to teach that, because that's what I am. I'm simple. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just take the truth from where it is. So I started writing a discipleship, a 12-week discipleship pamphlet, whatever you want to call it. And that's what I want to do. And then at Sydney Health Center, at the extended care, I found this old, battered-up thing, waterlogged. I don't think I ever looked at it. I got it from Sun Life Ministries. I probably donated there at one time. That's Jimmy Swaggart, if you don't know what Sun Life Ministries is. And it talked about 33 things that happen at the moment of salvation. Do you ever think of that? What happens at salvation? I bet a lot of people, if you haven't been discipled through Jesus' word from the beginning on to try and help you understand the next step, that we're missing something. So I started with extended care because they fall asleep anyway sometimes. But you know what? Their eyes are more open. They said, Richard, you preach in a way I can understand it. And I said, good. All right, so I'm 90 years old now instead of what I am. And that's okay, because that's where the Lord has me today. This is where he has you today. So I started taking from this and started making up notes. So guess what? We're not going through all 33. We might get one done. We might get two done. But you get the 33 things they talk about. I encourage you to learn. Or come to extended care, and here I'm on week 5, I think, with them. But I'm going to tell you, this is what happens. What does it mean? Do we get fringe benefits? We're always looking for benefits. Along with this act of faith, what actually happens now, there is 8, 1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation. Webster defines condemnation this way: to find, to be wrong, to show the guilt, to announce judgment upon, to officially declare unfit for use. If you haven't accepted, received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this says you're unfit for use for the Lord. Romans 7:14. I continue to sin. I can't help myself. My body is a slave to sin, but thanks be to God for sending Jesus to save me. If you read Romans 7:14 through 25, it says, why do I do the things I do? I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. What a wretched man I am. Do you know that was my life verse? That's for about 5 or 6 years. What a wretched man, because I was recognizing the sinful man I am, even though I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. But here's what Paul says: thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his mercy and his grace, that's wiped away. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. I'm just going through these. If you want to write them down, you write them down. But when I go through extended care, I get 15 minutes. Colossians 2, 13, 14. When we were dead in our sins, that's before receiving Christ, isn't it? When we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. All. What you did from the beginning to now. All. What you're doing now. And what you're going to be doing. All sin. All. For all who receive him is forgiven. He took them away and nailed it to the cross. Shouldn't we be celebrating? Do we celebrate the fact that our sins have been forgiven, taken away, past, current, and future? Shouldn't we be grateful? It's very hard to put your arms around, isn't it? And it's not a free pass. Oh, good. I can sin now because I'm going to be forgiven. Then you don't have the concept of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy, and find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't that when we seek it out, when we need it, when we're sick or we're hurting, where someone else is hurting? Don't we do that? We should have a continuous prayer chain, shouldn't we? Because something's always going on. Always. I start off with, every week they like to say the Our Father who art in heaven, that extended care at the end of service. But I started a new one with them. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. When you confess. When you hear confess, me growing up in a Roman Catholic church, when you hear confess, I right away I think of the confessional in the back, and you open the doors, you go on, there's a screen there, there's a I think it's a priest in there. Sometimes you wonder, right? It could be my dad, and I'm telling him everything I did that week. Somehow he always knew. If you confess, that means acknowledge. That means knowing him, not knowing of him, but knowing him. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, wouldn't that be the hard part of a non-believer just accepting Christ, going through VBS or however, if they were witnessed to? You will be saved, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, he acknowledges, resulting in the salvation. This is how, I'm sure there's more than 33 things, but I mean, this is how the things we'll be talking about, this forgiveness happens. The next one I talked about was we are a child of God. Ephesians 2:1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. What is transgression? An act that goes against a law, against a rule, against a code of conduct, an offense. When it speaks of dead, it's a spiritual death. You are dead in your transgressions. It's spiritual. We don't know the Lord. We know of God because people hear him, hear about him, people talking, people see him praying, people praying. It's a spiritual death. You ever hear people say, you only die once? I used to say it. I'm only going to die once. But Scripture talks about a second death. They will separate the sheep from the goats. I'm a sheep. I know I'm a sheep. I will be with the Lord someday. Hopefully in many years. Because now I get this newborn life in me. That, man, I want to do ministry. Yeah, God gave me Sydney Health Center. He gave me the staff there that I worked with. I got to pray with. I got to witness to. I got to witness to a patient that wanted to know about God, accepted Christ, not only him but his mother, days before he died. I get to go to extended care. See, I want to live. Now it's not for me, my bank account, or anything else. If I could get Shelley to stop buying shoes, it'd be better. But the Lord's going to take care of that. John 1:12. Now, one thing I want you to understand. I don't just use King James, New King James. I also use the English Standard Version. Whatever version brings out the language Sydney Health Center residents can understand. And me. But to all who did receive him, receive who? Received Jesus, who believed in his name. Who? Jesus. He, who? Jesus gave the right to become children of God. You are a child of God. The NIV says in Galatians 3:26, so, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through what? Faith. Faith. Folks, everyone in this world, on this earth, will not go to heaven. They do not have faith. They have not confessed. Romans 8:15, then the New Living Translation says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you a slave to fear. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father." Abba, your daddy, if you don't know what that means. Dad, daddy. He's your dad. Go to him. Romans 8:16. "For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." How much affirmation do you need to know? Do I need to know? Because I tell you right now, 7 days, I don't feel it. Not because he's not there, because I'm not there. Are we there for our daddy? Do we look to our daddy? 1 John 3:1. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." This, I can just imagine him saying this. And I was like, that is what you are. You ever say it to your kids? "I love you. You're my daughter. You're my son. Abba Father." When someone tells you they love you, which we don't do that much in this world, so I make it a point to say I love you. Not just at home, but at work. I will tell my staff when we meet together, "I love you. I care what happens to you. I care about your family. I care that your mom has cancer. I care about that. I will pray for you." And that's what I do. That's what we should do. We should love. Your daddy loves you. Please him by showing him that you love others. 2 Corinthians 6:18 in the New Living. "And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." You know what faith is? Understanding that every word in this scripture, and I don't understand them all, every word in this book is true. So if it says the Lord Almighty, your ears better perk up, because you are his son, you are his daughter. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." I wrote in the notes here, I am led by the Spirit 100% of the day. I hate the word 24/7. So I'm going to say 100% of the day. I just don't listen to him enough. I don't listen. I don't know where I would be right now if I would listen more, if I would seek him more, if I would truly treat him like a good daddy. And I know someone out there is saying, "Well, I didn't have a good dad." Well, this is a good dad. My dad ruled with an iron fist that I have felt, but more so a leather belt, because that's how he got things through my head. But this daddy, he loves me. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. God says it's in Scripture. This isn't Richard telling you what he thinks it says. This is what Scripture says. A slave to the law. I just talked about that with the residents this morning. Doesn't always feel that way to me. Boy, that law just comes back in my head all the time. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Deuteronomy 14:1a, you are the children of the Lord your God. We belong to God. When I say we, I mean the ones who followed Romans. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe He was risen from the dead. I don't know how I believe it. People say, how do you believe that? I don't know. Scripture tells me so. And the Spirit's in me. I believe it. I don't know how. I can't tell you how, but I know I do. And that'll bring me to tears sometimes. The love of the Lord, of God, that we take advantage of every day, me and you. Seek the Lord. Can I do one more? It'll be quick. Access to God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We can have access to God. If we choose, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But sometimes we don't accept that. We can get advice from our elders, and we might not follow that. We can get advice from our parents. Right, Michael? Not his parent, but. But we don't follow it. Why can't we? I'm not chewing nobody out. I'm telling you. I'm in the same boat as everybody else. Why? Because we're lazy sometimes. Our belief isn't strong enough sometimes. My discipline isn't enough. Discipline to what? Discipline to be in the Word. Even though I get to preach every week, I still feel I'm not in the Word enough. But if I was in the Word more, could I? You know, I accept, it's easy to accept that I'm in this flesh body that will burn away. But my faith will save me for an eternity. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Listen. And this is kind of new for me. But sometimes when I pray, I say, God, you promised. I go boldly. You promised me. You promised me if I came to you with a good heart, in the Spirit, that you would do this. My biggest prayer is Shelley. You told me. Imagine how we could preach the guy, could sit with her in the pew, Lord.
I pray that. And I tell him, you promised.
You know what he says? Yeah, when I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I believe she's going to be saved. It might be after I'm dead. And that's okay. Because I want her to know the Lord. Go boldly with confidence. You know why? Because the scripture tells you to. I'm just conveying what the word says. That's all I'm doing. I'm being a vessel for the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, to tell you, you can go boldly before the Lord.
Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I wrote here for the residents. Approaching God with our prayers and our requests and our cares and our hopes is what he wants. What dad in this room right now doesn't want their child to go to them and say, Dad, I need help. I get a problem. Mom, I get a problem. Does it not melt your heart? I don't have children. But you know what? I have people walk in my office. Say, Richard, I get a problem. I need tomorrow off. No, they walk in and they get heartaches just like you and me. Richard, will you pray for me? You know how that melts my heart? Because I know I'm not worthy to do the Lord's work, but he makes me that way. So I do it. I'll pray with them. And if that makes us feel that way, how much more does God like it that way? No issue too small. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Good, that's what we want. We don't want to go to hell. Anybody want to go to hell? Raise your hand. We don't. But what do you do after you do that? We leave them. Oh, good, I brought someone to the Lord and that's that. No. We get to go the next step. We can't just leave them. That's not what the Lord wants. So, hopefully one day, by the beginning of the year, I'll bring to the board of directors a manual that I want to start discipling. Not only new believers, but how about those that left, that accepted Christ as a kid, but now they're coming back? Have they ever been discipled in a way that they can understand to take that next step? Because I can tell you, once I was 40 years old when I got saved, I would have never imagined that I'd be speaking to you today. Never. But it's where the Lord brings us. And you need to go on the journey. And pray for me that I do that I don't get lazy, that I'm not disciplined to do the Lord's work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've given us. But Lord, I also thank you for the things you haven't given us, because you know what's good and what's not. Our hearts hurt for many people, Lord. But we can go to you in prayer as our daddy. And I pray throughout this week that they do that, that we all do that. And Lord, we just pray for safety on our way home today. We pray for a good, holy day, a spiritual day where we look to you and what you want for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I guess I get announced a song now.